As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hello and welcome to Is This Good? The show where we boldly, conclusively and scientifically decide what things in this big wide world are good. I'm Matt Austin, and with me, as always, is production powerhouse Jason Doyle.
Hello.
Hi, JD. Thanks for coming. And man, I am excited. Today's guest is a goddamn Canadian broadcasting legend. Over 20 years on the mic, he's covered every major sporting event from the Kentucky Derby to the Masters to the NHL Finals. But most importantly to me, he's been responsible for many hours of laughs between me and the No Dunks crew. Please welcome the man they call Red Heat, Cam Stewart. Cam, welcome to Is This Good?
Hey, thanks for having me. Yeah, they call me a lot of things, guys. The Bear, Oso Grande, you know, Red Heat, the Raging Redhead, whatever. But you're right. I almost wish, you know, when we were doing that stuff with the Basketball Jones a long time ago, I want to do that, remember, Score Olympics? I want to do it again because I've lost 60 pounds, so I think I could do a hell of a lot better than I did before. That'll happen when you get diabetes. You tend to lose weight.
Wow.
Yeah, of course, that was a feature that ran on the Score, the television network in Canada, where you used to work. And it was, I believe, Skeets and Tass against you and Rene Paquette. Is that doing sort of various Olympic-style events?
Renee Young, Renee Paquette, and she was actually the better side of my team. I was absolutely brutal. I never realized how good those guys were as athletes, though. Like, I knew Skeets, like, he's long and lean. Like, you could tell he could be, like, a long-distance runner, but Taz kind of surprised me. Like, he was in better shape than I thought. I thought he was just a guy kind of like me that sat around and drank beers and partied and whatever, but he's a better athlete than people give him credit for. I'll give him that.
That's right. That's right. Well, okay, well, I'll tell them that now that you've lost 60 pounds, you want a rematch. We'll see how it goes.
I do. That'd be great.
So, of course, as we've already alluded to, we met when we worked at the Score. I think we got there in 2010. We were upstairs with the old boring executives. You were downstairs with the cool guys. Yeah. How did you get into sports media in general? Because I read your Wikipedia. Wow. It's a succinct thing, and it said, Cam spent time in Yellowknife, Northwest Territories, where he was first introduced into the sports media industry. And if you're an American or worldwide listener, the Northwest Territories, that's like about as far north as you can go into Canada. Almost no one lives there. So how did you end up there?
That was pretty crazy. So I went to Fanshawe College in London, Ontario. And back in the day, you know, we were doing our stuff on reel to reels. Like, I don't know, you guys talk about, like, you see like a razor blade. What the hell is this old guy talking about? We used to have to cut stuff, rewind it, and then do that, like, before computer editing. And we literally made cassettes. And when you finished the program, I fired out like 40 cassettes. And I got a couple calls back, one in Manitoba and one in Yellowknife, Northwest Territories. And I was talking to my mom. She goes, if you're going to do something stupid, do it real stupid. She goes, go to the farthest place. Like, go far. I go, you know what? I agree with this. So I'm going to go to Yellowknife. My buddy took the job in Manitoba. He left in a couple months. And I ended up staying almost 5 years, guys. It was great. I started off in the radio. And then one day I'm like covering sports. And a guy's like, do you know how to write? I go, no, I'm not a great writer. He goes, who cares? He goes, here's your Pentax camera. Do you know how to run it? I go, you can teach me. He goes, just all you got to do is because you know the sports, will help you. So basically I wrote and they helped me with the periods, the punctuation to make it perfect. And I started working at a newspaper, being the sports editor there. after doing the radio. So it was quite a trip up there, man. I got to tell you, I really miss it. Like, I know people think, like, I'm back in Toronto now. I, like, went fishing, and I was way, I did, like, a lot more cooler stuff. Like, it was a calmer way of life. Like, now I get stressed out about traffic and whatever. Back then, it's like, screw it, man. Let's, you know, leave work early, have a couple drinks, and go fishing. Like, I kind of, it's kind of like being retired, but you're still working. And even though I didn't make any money, guys, it was awesome. And I played rec hockey. And all these guys I work with were miners. So these guys are loaded. They worked in the diamond mines, and they had, like, big souped up trucks, and I had no car, nothing, right? So I come in to play hockey one day, and there's, like, these hockey bags. And I open it up. There's fish. There's caribou. Like, they basically saved me, like, $2,000 in grocery and, like, got a freezer, and that's how I survived up there. It's very expensive. Have you guys seen, like, a thing, like, a container of Sunny D's, like, $40?
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know what a pack of smokes and beer is up in Yellowknife now, but it's expensive as hell, man. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, all those importation fees. Yes. I like that motto. What was it? If you're going to do something stupid,
you're gonna
do
something
it real stupid.
Do it real stupid. My mom actually, that was great advice because, like, if you're going to go to two remote places, wouldn't you just rather go to the one that's even, like, closer to the North Pole?
Yeah.
That's the way I looked at it, and I ended up staying there a long time, and I still have a couple friends. My buddy, we're going to meet in Montreal, and, like, I still have friends from Yellowknife that live in, like, you know, Nova Scotia, all over Canada, a couple in the United States now, and it's great, because once you live in a place like that, you're not just friends, you've been through a lot. It's almost like a family situation. Like, mm-hmm. we see each other, and it's like, you know, a brother and stuff like that, because you go through a lot of stuff when you live in a small community.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I, you know, when I have a guest on, I always hop over to their Twitter feed just to see, like, what's this person been thinking about, tweeting about lately? And I have to say, I saw a lot of tweets about this topic, but I still can't figure out what the hell was going on. Were you getting into, like, a long tweet argument with someone about what the worst soup of all time was?
Yes, yes. That's one of our listeners. This guy's insane. Pete. And he's talking about lentil soup. I go, Pete, you're an idiot. Like, honest to God, like, he's like, oh, no, give it a chance. I'm like, I've given lentil soup a chance. I've been broke, and it sucks. Like, you're telling me it's better than chicken noodle or Italian wedding. And anyway, Pete's a great guy. He's one of our listeners, but he's a little bit different. So, yeah, I'm actually supposed to meet him in a couple weeks. We're supposed to go to a casino together, as long as he doesn't give me lentil soup.
So, Cam, of course our Canadian listeners know who you are, but our American and worldwide listeners, they may know you through audio drops that we used to play on our show. So here's what I mean. When I produced the Basketball Jones and then the Starters, I would cut out little bits of audio that I would play, you know, completely out of context on the show, you know, like old school radio style.
I like that.
And I have gathered some drops of you talking on, and at this point, I don't know what year they're from. I don't know what network they were on. I don't know what show you were on. I have no idea what they refer to at this point. So
can you send me some for my demo reel? Like, I don't even know what I, like, edit my stuff anymore. Honestly, can you send me a file? That'd
be wicked. Hell yeah.
Well,
I'm
going to play you three of them now.
Okay.
Okay. Again, these are out of context. I don't know where they came from. So I'll play them for you, and then you just tell me, like, anything they inspire in your mind, whether you knew what you were talking about, why you were talking about it, or just any thoughts about the clip itself.
Like, this is my prison meal. Like, I don't even know what the heck. When you guys called me, I didn't even know what the hell we were doing. Like, I didn't know if we were going to, like, go gambling or, like, whatever. Like, I had no idea. Like, I thought you were going to ask for, like, a pick. Who do you like in the six at Saratoga? Like, I have no idea what we're doing right now. Like, none. No clue. But it's all right.
Well, the truth is, Cam, that after listening to you in my ears for so long, I've always been like, this guy's so funny. I have to speak to him at some point, have to get him on a show, but it's just never come up. There's never been a good opportunity. And this show is about a year old, and it came to me. I was like, oh my God, this is the perfect venue for Cam. This is what I've been waiting for. So that's why I reached out. So JD, can you play the first audio drop, please?
Queen Under Pressure, Journey, Separate Ways, the Jimi Hendrix Experience, All Along the Watchtower, The Offspring, The Kids Aren't All Right, Blue Oyster Cult, Don't Fear the Reaper, Journey, Don't Stop Believing, Fight for All Eternity, CCR, Fortunate Son, love that song, Van Halen, Pound Cake, everyone loves some Pound Cake.
right, so
was that what, like, one of those things on WKRP in Cincinnati where they blend all the songs together and go Iron Butterfly and Agata Vita, and they remember they won the prize and some, like, turkey actually got it, and Johnny Fever and Venus Flytrap, like, oh god, we're in major, like, can I swear on the show? Or
of course,
they,
yeah,
or,
go
oh,
ahead.
Oh yeah, it's like, I was just saying, like, they were in shit because they actually had to pay the money to the guy who won. Like, he's like, they cut it together, they edited it, it's like, nobody's ever gonna get this. Guy's like Led Zeppelin, da, 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 and they went through the classic show. For all you younger people out there, like, give WKRP in Cincinnati a shot. And Barney Miller, like, a yes. show that I've actually, I'm getting Preach. Older now, I love, like, we were talking, me and Morenci were talking about it yesterday, like, the gambling references, the jokes, like, that show's really underrated. Like, when I was younger, I don't think I appreciated it as much as I do now. Very good old school television.
That's great.
So are you a big classic rock guy? Is that could have been why you were just going through a list of...
Yeah, I have no idea. Like, yeah, I do love classic rock, but you guys would be surprised, actually. I look like kind of like just a regular guy. I'm really into indie rock. And people look at me and go, you don't really look like you guys look more like Dinosaur Jr. fans than me, but I would say that's probably like my favorite band. Like Pavement, Guided by Voices, Skate
oh,
Rock.
Oh, sick.
I'm into like a lot of that stuff. I had a roommate up in Yellowknife who is now, I think, a DJ in Ireland. So he got me into like a lot of interesting music. And we went to some like concerts when like bands were playing. We'd go down from Yellowknife to Edmonton because that was the closest major city. So I love going to concerts. So yeah, I'm kind of stuck in the 90s, guys. Like, those are the bands that I listen to. Like, I don't even know what the hell is going on now, but I
well,
like
yeah,
it.
Don't worry, Cam. We're probably stuck in the 90s too. all right, JD, can you please play the next clip?
Can I tell you something about these wizards and warlocks? Don't let them fool you. They're not cheap.
Okay, so I would play that a lot if we were talking about the Washington Wizards or something, because,
yes.
you know, it's an NBA show. What are wizards and warlocks? What was going on there?
I think we were having a fight with one of the guys that in our show, and he was all into, like, you know, like Harry Potter and wizards and whatever,
yeah.
and I was kind of basically
exactly
telling him to fuck off, like, you know, Game of Thrones. I think that's where we were going with that, but... I find it funny. Like, don't you guys, and we cover basketball and stuff, like, Wizards could be, like, a pretty offensive name compared to, like, even Washington Bullets, like, Bullets Wizard. Like, Wizards are kind of, like, they're not all friendly.
You're right.
Don't you
well,
think?
I wouldn't
like,
say
a lot
it's
of,
offensive,
like, no,
though.
It's sorcery, though. I'm saying, like, it's, like, kind of, like, what is Washington Wizards? Like, what the hell? Like, I kind of looked at the name and went, really? That's what you're changing from Bullets to Wizards? It's not like you did anything better. It's basically the same. Don't you think?
Yeah, I mean... I wouldn't say Wizards is offensive.
I tell you, if you're a Christian or whatever, you could look at Washington Wizards and get pretty fired up. I really don't. I don't give a rat's ass, but I'm just saying, though, like, Wizards
is a real satanic panic.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so this next one is, I would say, the most classic, one of the most requested drops we had on our show. I'd play it, like, anytime someone was talking about going on vacation or drinking. It's very short. JD, okay. Please play it.
Swim up bar, looking good.
Okay,
I was
have
in
said,
Mexico.
I've said swim up bar, looking good so many times. What was going on there?
Oh, I took my friend Johnny. He worked at Sportsnet, and he's a great guy. He's actually, guys, he's one of the most talented guys I know. He's in a wheelchair, but like, and he can type like with pencils and stuff. So we used to edit sports clips together. So I got to meet a lot of those guys, and I'm like, Johnny, like, you don't really go anywhere. I go, how about me and my buddy Joe take you to Mexico? And we went to, like, you know, and a bunch of, you know, kids from Penn State were there. And that's one thing. They didn't really understand the way the swim up bar works. It doesn't matter. Like, all you have to do is grease the guy 20 or 50 bucks and you're set for the rest of the week. While all these other idiots at the end of the line are just sitting there going, why aren't we getting drunk? And we're just like triple fisting. It's a swim up bar is great, but I have to believe, guys, there's a lot of urination in the pool, but I had a great time in Cancun.
Hell
great
yeah.
spot.
Well, how many years back is that trip?
About 12.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That was a long time ago. It's probably right when you guys started, like when we started like working and stuff like that, right around that time. I don't really go anywhere anymore. I go to Buffalo for my vacations now. I'm a regular at the Seneca Niagara Casino. That's where I go.
Hey, a true VIP.
Yes, a vacation in Buffalo.
So you like the swim bar, even though it's probable that you're swimming around in a bunch of Penn State piss.
Yeah, that's a good call. But you got to... Basically, swim up bar is good when you're annihilated. Like, You don't like to start it sober, and you always want to be the first guys in the pool, like kind of stake out your land, stake your claim, your territory, and then once it gets too crazy, then it's over. Then we'll find another place to drink. But, man, I don't even know where you guys get this stuff. Like,
I don't know either.
I don't even remember this. Like, I know I used to do a Rick Jeanneret, like, hey, Saber score, la, 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 Fontaine, Merry Christmas, Buffalo, Buffalo 6, Nordiques 1. Like, you know, stuff like that, but... You got to send me these clips because my demo reel, I don't even know what the hell's on.
We'll send it to you. What, do you do any other impressions?
No, that's okay. It. My girlfriend's actually a wicked impressionist. She can do all accents. She's like the Rich Little. I told her, I go, what are you doing? Like, she's actually, she was a writer and a very good one. Not like me. I can't write. But I told you, I go, why didn't you get into impressions? But the only difference is she's really shy. Like, she'll do them for me and a couple other friends, but, like, she's not the type to go on stage and do it. But, man, it's impressive. Like, Caribbean accents, French, Scottish, you name it. Like, guys, girls, anything. Like, it actually is so impressive to me when you can do stuff like that, because I can't. I can only do Buffalo Sabres hockey. That's all I got.
So specific. I love it.
Well, at least that works for the industry.
I got to get something off my chest. Nothing drives me crazier than sending a message to a group chat and getting no response. That's why I'm a big emoji responder. Love a hang loose hand or a salute, but man, it hurts when you send a message and get nothing back. Ouch! We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/NoDunks today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/NoDunks. This episode of No Dunks is brought to you by BetterHelp.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Some quick housekeeping before we get started. I know, Cam, we haven't even got started yet. Join the...
You guys pay me? we'll use the money.
We're paying you in audio drops.
Yes, exactly.
Join the Is This Good Patreon, patreon.com/isthisgood. Grab some merch at isthisgoodpod.com. Send topics for a future show to isthisgoodpod@gmail.com. And subscribe on YouTube. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Cam, the premise of the show, it's very simple. I'm going to give you a topic, and all I need you to do is tell me if you think it's good and why. So here we go. The first topic, Miriam S. I got to tell you, Cam, Miriam S., that's my mother. My mother sent in a topic, and I thought it was good, so I'm going to ask it right here.
I'm asking, who the hell is Miriam S., and is it some new band that I don't know about because I'm still listening to 90s indie rock? Like, I had no idea. Thank you, Miriam.
All right, Miriam S. asks, having a bucket list, is this good? So we're all familiar with the term kicking the bucket, which means to die. So this is a list of things to do before you die. So therefore, a bucket list. It was immortalized in the 2007 Rob Reiner film starring Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman. But Cam, what do you think? Having a bucket list, is this good?
That's a great question by your mom. No, I think it's horrible, actually, because my brother told me a long time ago, don't set like goals that are unattainable. Just do little ones and get through the day. So bucket list to me is, I actually did it before, and I've done some things I really wanted to do, like go to the Masters and go to a Triple Crown race, and I still have a lot to do. But I found when I looked at my bucket list and I didn't get a lot of it done, it was depressing. So I'm not really down with a bucket list. I'd rather just kind of live your life and hopefully. The only regret like I really have, guys, is I love my job. I just work too many hours. I'd love to be in radio and television, but I'd like it to be like maybe 1 hour a day instead of like all day, because I just miss drinking beers with my buddies. I miss hanging out with seniors at the horse book. Like, that's what my dream, guys, is to retire and literally wake up in the morning, have a Caesar and a beer, talk to my buddy beside me, have some sandwiches, and bet on horses all afternoon, go to the early bird special, and then bet on stuff at night, and maybe, like, go meet people. Like, that's my, I'm a pretty simple person. I just like to meet people, have a good time, and drink.
Well, so you said you had a bucket list. What were some of the things on it that you think are probably unattainable at this point?
Not unattainable. I wanted to go to the Open Championship, the British Open. I wanted to go to Wimbledon.
Are these all sports related?
Yeah, a lot of them are sports related. Yeah, like most of the bands that I wanted to see, I have found a way to see when I was younger and I had more time. But yeah, all sports related. Like I did go to a Triple Crown race, but NBA, yeah, I haven't been to the NBA Finals. I've been to a lot of Raptor playoff games, though. Just stuff like that. And you guys are right. Like covering the Stanley Cup was awesome. Like being on the ice and, you know, when Jonathan Taves was there and he had the cup and I was like kind of around and stuff like, yeah, my bucket list really had to do with sports and bands. Maybe I should put some other things on it, but I never really kind of got around.
What about any like travel destinations, non-sports?
I traveled when I was younger and I'm going to be honest with you. I hate traveling now. Like, I got a real problem with it. I don't know what it is. I had some panic attacks. I guess it was because I was on a really long flight and like, I don't know what it was. And it was my fault. It was from partying, but I was like breathing all weird. And this guy beside me actually turned out to be a doctor. And he's like, dude, he goes, I feel for you. I go, I'm so sorry. I'm annoying, man. Like, I'm so sorry. Like I'm flipping out here. He just gave me his Bose headset. He's like, take a deep breath. And it was like, there was no noise in it. And I was like, after I got drool running down my face and stuff like that, I still talk to this guy. Like, because I said, when I have problems or whatever, I give him a call. He gave me his number and he told me like, you know, try to do this stuff without medications and stuff. But I don't know if anybody's ever experienced panic attacks. They're really scary. Yeah, they kind of feel like a heart attack. But yeah, and I met a guy on a plane and I still talk to him because he gives me like life advice and breathing exercises and stuff like that. I didn't mean to take this weird turn on the show, but
no, I can't believe you've actually, I mean, isn't that sort of the dream? We think we're going to go on a plane and let's be honest, like you think you're going to be seated next to this beautiful woman. You're going to hit it off.
No, and thank God I wasn't. This guy saved my life. And I'll be honest with you, like I like people go, oh, you want to go to Australia? No, I don't want to be on a plane for 2 days. Like for me, guys, I have a limit, like 5. Like my flight to Vegas that's about as long as I can go. I've been to London. I did a lot of traveling when I was younger, guys. When Mike Weir won the Masters, I won like $14,000. And I told my girlfriend, she was always like busting my balls, you know, we never do anything. So I go, oh, okay, you're calling my bluff. Well, let's do a 14-day like European cruise. So we went to Gibraltar, a monkey pissed on me. We went to Morocco, saw some like chickens getting carved up. Like, and I got to be honest with you, I had a great time on that trip, but most people do their stuff when they're older. I did it kind of when I was like, after I left Yellowknife, I did all my traveling. And then I go, okay, it's time to work and make money now because money runs out pretty quick.
Oh, I got to say, I'm jealous because I had a monkey pissing on me on my bucket list. So that's...
And it's not good luck, like a seagull shitting on you? No. I remember, like, the guy's like, these monkeys look friendly, but they're not. Like, I was just sitting there and... I have a picture of one. And I should find if I ever talk to you guys. He's like literally giving me the death stare, like they're eating like rotten apples and like he wanted to piss on me again. Like those monkeys in Gibraltar are mean, really mean.
You bring something up because you talk about Vegas a few times so far. Mm-hmm. I'm actually going to Vegas.
Oh, nice.
This weekend. And I'm not like a Vegas expert like you. I've been there a bunch of times for work and stuff. But what's sort of a perfect Vegas day to you?
I have a very different day than other people. And I hate to say this, and I don't want to rip Vegas. It's really changed. Like, I remember when I got laid off from the score, like when, you know, when Sportsnet and stuff took over, I had like time between jobs. I lived at a hotel, like this dirt hotel, like it's brutal, called the El Cortez. It's like a hipster hotel now. Me and my girlfriend stayed there for like, it was $18 a night. Like, I literally would go gamble on a couple games. I go, honey, we could stay here forever. But the problem is when you stay in the same room for a month, they make you change. So I stayed for a month. They're like, because they think like, I don't know if you're up to something illegal or whatever like
right.
that. But
right,
I'm a
right.
very, very simple person. Like I like in Vegas, I like to wake up. I like to go to the sports book. And I can't play poker because you guys see my face unless I wear a balaclava. Because I remember I used to play poker with my buddies and I can't lie and I'm sweating. They're like, Cam's got something good. I'm like, wow, I just donated thousands. I'm never playing this game again. But blackjack is a game that I like because it's totally opposite to my personality. I play, like, you know, my boy Pozzola, like he's a robot. That's
sure.
the way I play blackjack. Like I have a system.
Go
and in
book.
Life, I'm all over the place. So it's kind of, it's like the other side of me where I kind of go, okay, I'm going to be methodical and I just went down to Seneca, Niagara, and I won like $3,000 US the last time I went down there. So it was a nice trip.
What do you figure over the course of your life, you're up or down?
No, I'm down. Oh, yeah. In blackjack or sports gambling?
I mean, in general, if you have a figure.
I'm down. I'm down. Yeah. Sports gambling, when I first started, like, people don't know. Like, we didn't have legalized books back there. I remember walking in. I had a roommate. We won $14,000. He left town. I'm going to visit the bookie. He's got ninja stars instead of cutlery in his drawers. I'm like, I'm dead. He goes, Cam, I really like you, so I'm not going to hurt you, but you're going to have to take care of some of this debt. I'm like, I can't believe this. I just won money, and this guy, like, because we used to work at the midnight. He just, like, left town in the night like a fugitive. And I'm like,
Hold on.
Yeah, we used to bet with Johnny Knuckles and bookies and stuff back then. There was no, like, Bet365, you know what I mean? Like, the sites, like, there's no limit. You go play and you double up and you get pound. Like, I've learned a lot now, and I still lose, but I do win sometimes. But I hate to say it, these kids will never get a lesson the way we got a lesson. Because when
there was a lot more at stake when you were betting illegally.
Totally.
Yes. No, I actually kind of prefer. I know this sounds insane. I prefer it.
Because that makes total sense. Because it's like weed. Weed's legal now, but it's not as fun.
Yes. It's a great call. And I've also been a weed delivery man between jobs, too. That was a lot of fun.
But legal or after?
Both. I can't lie. Why do I tell people this? Like, knocks on the door. Mr. Stewart, can we talk? But, yeah, no, it was good. There were some cancer patients and stuff. One day I was so desperate for money, I dressed up as a piece of hash around Toronto and, you know, did a lot of different stuff. It was guys like, I'll give you like $500 to do this. And Morenci did, remember when that one guy who went to jail for the weed stuff, he was doing the political stuff and I was doing kind of like the skits. And yeah, we used to work.
What do you mean you dressed up as hash? What does that mean?
Well, we had a hash costume. It kind of more looked like shit, but I dressed up and I danced around and we did like a hash man infomercial and stuff. We owned a horse and I owed a lot of money. And that's some of the things I did to.
But what was for what purpose? Like, to sell
to make
hash?
Money to make no yes. Like, he owned a weed to spread, like a weed company, hash, whatever. I was the hash man and said, and then handed out like brochures. Come see this guy. He's got like an ounce of, you know, like, you know, I don't know what was green crack or, you know, 125. He had great deals, actually, great deals. But his problem was he always wanted to get into the movies. And like, we did a skit with like coffee beans and weed, and it was like in an underground parking lot in Toronto. And it was the best line that Gabe ever said to him, because we're sitting there. He goes, hey, why don't you do one thing that you do well? You sell weed. You do it well. Like, stop getting into movies. Stop getting into infomercials. Stop getting into this new weed band. Like, do what you do. Sell weed and do it to the cancer patients and stuff, and get your clientele and make shitloads of money. Like, why are you trying to get into the movies and pissing it all away? I shouldn't really yell at him, because I've owned a horse and pissed away. Me and Gabe owned a horse, and that was a disaster. He won one race.
Okay, one race. We're going to get to your horse in a second, actually. I'm just going to write that down.
Oh, you got that on the list, too?
That's going to come. Well, like, not your room. It's going to come up later. This is your life, Cam. I just have to go back to one thing you said in passing. Ninja stars. What do you mean? You walk into the guy's apartment, you're in the bathroom.
This is not a word of a lie. I walked in, and I don't know why his drawers were open, and like, most people have cutlery or, you know, the thing to mash potatoes, you know, ice cream scoop. This guy had weaponry, like nunchucks, stars, all sorts of stuff. Like, he was a killer, and I owed him a lot of money. And he said, but he liked me for some reason. And I told him, I go, listen, I'm starting this job at Sportsnet. Can I just give you a couple $100 like every week till whatever? And he let me on a payment plan, no interest. And that was the lesson. That's what I was telling you about these kids that don't understand. Like, you could only put in money in an account what you have. Back then, they love giving you credit. Oh, bet as much as you'd like. And then when you get down a number, you freak out and you double up a bet. Next thing you know, you're in real trouble. So my lesson to everybody out there is, you guys are I don't really like the way the legalized gambling is now, because I can't bet on my fucking Apple computer during work, and I have to do it on my phone in 2-minute breaks, like with this geo blocking and stuff.
But it's way better
for people. Like, these kids aren't going to get in the trouble that me and some of my friends got into when we were younger. It was a dangerous place back then. Like, you owed shady people money and it kind of sucked, right? But now, what do you do? You own a company money. It's kind of the same thing. You're giving money instead of to a guy Actually, my bookie, I've been, like, a couple of them are really nice guys. I went to his wedding, and, like, you know what I mean? One of them I'm very good friends with right now still. He hooked up my Apple, my Fire Stick TV. Great guy.
Cam, you make a friend out of everyone you meet. You're best friends with the doctor from the plane. You're best friends with your bookie.
The thing is, I'm not really, like, with my old friends, though, it's weird. Like, I don't see, like, it's kind of funny. All my buddies got married, and I never did. So it's kind of, I'm more like, yeah, I have those situations more in life. You know, when you're traveling and you meet someone, it's like, hey, I'm going to be here this time. If they're in Toronto, you go meet them or something like that. Hey, you want to go down to Buffalo and we'll go play some cards and stuff. But no, I love people. It's just one of those things that, yeah, it's tough. Like when we're getting older, right? Like that's the one thing that I kind of regret. I wish I just had more time to hang out and party the way I used to. Because remember back in the day, guys, like I'm going to be honest with you, when I worked at the Score, I never knew how good I had it. Like, what kind of work makes you, like, allows you to bet on horse racing and stuff at work? Like, you know what I mean? Like, we had it good. Like, let's just put it that way.
Oh, for sure.
It was a lot of fun.
Those were good times.
They were.
You mentioned marriage. I assume that's not on your bucket list?
I love my girlfriend. We're common law right now. And it's just kind of weird. Like, we talk about it. And we might eventually get married. I just see a lot of my buddies who are married divorced.
Hard to get divorced if you're not married.
Yeah, and it really bothers me because they tell me about the situation with the kids and the custody and stuff like that. I'm not having kids. I don't have many regrets. I think I would have been a father, and I think after broadcasting's over, I thought about becoming like a big brother, like helping out kids that go to a baseball game or a football game, stuff like that. Like that's something that would interest me. But my girlfriend and I we were not having kids, but that would be in my future. If I had the time, I'd like to help like a kid that didn't have a father to, you know, go to a game and do all that stuff. Because my dad was great to me. Like I owe my dad everything. Like when all my, you know, buddies' dads were banging the secretary, he took us all in the safari van to hockey tournaments and all over the place and soccer and all that. You know what? And you can't put a price on that, right? Like it was, and even my friends come up to me today and go, your dad was awesome. Like we got to travel to the States and, like, you know, he'd pick up the hotel room and like we, you know, he'd party with the other dads, but he like took care of a lot of me and my brothers when we played like traveling hockey and stuff. And yeah, it was, I love the man so much for that. That's why I kind of look after my parents now. I try to do the best I can.
Well, that's beautiful. And yeah, you should do. You'd be a great big brother. We took some
gambling.
Hard left
turns. The problem is I teach them gambling. I'd be at an event and they go,
yeah, actually,
I'd be with another father. I go, like, I can't even like watch. I'd be like, what do you think? Know, should we take this team -5.5? Are you guys betting the basketball tournament, by the way? You guys, are you watching it or like not, or just NBA? You know, that TBT stuff? It's pretty fun.
Like, oh, the tournament. No,
the
no,
tournament.
No,
yeah, I got money on like Heartfire. They're playing actually the semifinals, I think, are tonight. It's been great. Wow. Great gambling tournament.
I don't know why I said you would be a great big brother. I mean, because you have a big heart and you're a great
guy.
But then again,
you've
said 12 things in the span of 20 minutes. It's like gambling, cash, weed, Ninja Star.
But I don't hurt anybody.
Yeah.
Done a lot of just, and I never did anything. I was. Basically, guys, when you're between jobs or whatever, and a guy goes, hey, you want to deliver weed to, like, cancer patients? And not all of them were. Some were just guys who smoked weed. But when you're jammed up and you have a mortgage and stuff like that, you go, okay. And yeah. When you owe money for a horse that gets hurt, you're like, how do I make money? You work a lot and you try to find ways. And that's what I did. I did stupid infomercials, dressed up as a piece of hash, did all sorts of dumb stuff. But we're here now. Still alive.
We are here now. We take a poll on Twitter to see where the people are at. And 61% of people think having a bucket list is good.
Oh, okay.
So they're against you on that one, Cam. But I agree with you. It's kind of a dumb thing. All right. When people need help navigating life's biggest decisions, they seek our wise counsel and we deliver an airtight verdict, Cam. It's time to settle this. So back in March, a Chicago man filed a class action lawsuit against Buffalo Wild Wings to challenge the false and deceptive marketing advertising of their boneless wings. So in the suit, he argues the product's name and description lend the false impression that they are bona fide chicken wings that have simply been deboned and are therefore comprised entirely of chicken meat. However, in actuality, they are not wings at all, but rather slices of chicken breast deep fried like wings. So why are we talking about this now? The restaurant chain asked the U.S. District Court of Northern Illinois to dismiss the case. In May, they posted a response to the concerns about their boneless wings on Instagram saying, quote, We don't give a shit. Okay,
yeah,
that's
I like that.
That's what their response was. But last week, Ayman Halim, that's the guy that filed the suit, he filed a response slamming the company for its mockery of his concerns and claimed the court should punish it by allowing his lawsuit to carry on. So that was just last week. So, Cam, can you settle this for us? Does this guy have a case? Should Buffalo Wild Wings be allowed to call them boneless wings?
He's got no fucking case. And by the way, Bud, why don't you dress up as a piece of hash or sell weed or do something else instead of having stupid lawsuits? It's very simple. If it says wing, it has a bone in it. If it's not, it's just a chicken piece. And the restaurant can tell him to fuck off because he's a fool. Like, you know what the craziest thing, though, guys? There's so many of these frivolous lawsuits. Like, that's one thing about America. I wish I was there because I'd come up with something. Like, remember that guy who sued Canada Dry? He won. Didn't he get $75,000
because he said the ginger? Why did he sue Canada
Dry? He says, there's not real ginger in my ginger ale. And they actually gave him some money. He won. Like, this is not about Kramer, like, dumping coffee on his nuts. They actually settled out of court and gave the guy money. Who the hell knows Canada Dry doesn't real ginger? Like, what? Great drink, though.
Before this podcast is over, we have to come up with a lawsuit for you to bring against someone. Okay, yeah. Let's keep that in the back of our minds. But this guy, Halim, this is not the first time he's brought a lawsuit before. He brought a suit claiming that the natural label on Tom of Maine's Wicked Fresh mouthwash, that it wasn't really natural. He said high in fiber on Kind granola bars were inaccurate because they weren't actually high in fiber.
This guy's got a lot of issues, a lot of time.
He claimed that Hefty misled customers by labeling its bags recyclable when they weren't. So this guy's a real piece of work.
Yeah, he is. I didn't even know what the fuck Tom's of whatever was. Like, I was like,
it's like a natural brand.
Yeah,
of, like,
yeah, I know. No, I've been to the store and seen it, but I'm like, it's like, wow, toothpaste for $10 instead of 99-cent Colgate. Fuck that. I'll get the 88-cent Crest, like, or whatever, Aquafresh. There's got to be AIM. That's like a really low-grade toothpaste. But yeah, this guy's a fool. Like, you really think he's going to win that case versus Buffalo Wild Wings? But I am impressed with the guy with the. You guys got to check that out. The ginger ale thing where the guy got money.
But, you agree he doesn't have a case, but you're also saying that Buffalo Wild Wings is wrong to call them boneless wings because they're not really wings.
Okay, so I have a problem with boneless wings with everything. It's just stupid. And I'm not going to say I'm a Mensa member, but they're not boneless wings. A wing is a wing.
Right.
Chicken without a bone is a piece, a tender, a nugget, or a strip. Whatever the hell. You can call it anything, but it's not a wing. Like, I don't understand boneless wings. No, wings have bones. They have flatbeds, and they have drums, and they have a bone in them. Boneless wings. Chicken pieces. That's like, so, you know, like that. It's actually something that really pisses me off. Like, I don't understand why the concept's so hard. They're not, why? Who said boneless wings?
Okay, well, Buffalo Wild Wings also said, because they're just taking this guy to the woodshed, right? They're posting on social media, making fun of him. They had a social an Instagram post that said, "Yep, it's true. Our boneless wings are all white meat chicken. Our hamburgers contain no ham, and our buffalo wings are 0% buffalo."
Wow, so, that's just a lot of smartasses at that company.
Yeah, I love it.
A lot of smartasses. Are you know when you go to a place that has wings and they'll offer you, like, for an upcharge, you can go all drums or all flats? You doing that? You like one more than the other?
I think that is the best idea ever. And I don't think a lot of people do it. Here's the thing. I used to be a drums guy, but over the last, I love flatbeds now for some reason. I don't know, maybe because they're easier to do, like the old, like you know the cartoon where you look at the fish and it's just all bones, like throw it right out there. I don't know, I like flats. Like, if you're in an eating contest, you need flats instead of drums, I can tell you that.
Yeah, but
I've been in a chicken
like
winging contest with a guy, and I was winning for like 7 minutes, and then he took me out. But it's hard to have a chicken winging contest at 6 o'clock in the morning on a morning show. I actually was Yeah.
So like, it was not like a professionally sanctioned event.
Yes, it was on like AM 640. Joe Bowen, the voice of the Leafs, called it. Like, I was there working at that radio station, and we brought in wings at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I was up against, I wouldn't say the Joey Chestnut of chicken wing eating contest back in the time, but he was like a Canadian, like very good eater. I was beating him for a while, and then at the end, last 3 minutes, he crushed me. I just ran out of gas.
You just ran out. How many did you get down? How many wings did you throw?
70. I covered the spread. I had 79 and he had 86, and I was like 14 and a half wing underdog.
And what
you
kind
are 14 and a half wing underdog.
Well, I'm a regular person. He's a professional. I should have been 22
enough.
And a half wing.
Did you bet
underdog
on yourself?
Yes. Yes, I do bet on myself. One bet I win. I don't win a lot. I don't know. I made some really bad. I bet on the New York Mets yesterday. Like, I need psychiatric help.
In Canada, we don't have professional eaters. We just have very good eaters.
Okay, exactly.
That's the best we could do.
Yes, exactly.
All right. So, yeah. I was going to ask you, to eat the flats, you say you want to go off flats. Don't you have to, like, stick your tongue between the two bones?
Yeah, I have a technique, but we'll save that for another time and place if we go for beers and wings. Just, yeah, you go in there. It's like lock and load. You twist it, throw it out. Twist it, tongue. It's like you're yanking it. You just got to get in there, especially if they're really... Like, if they're a little bit thinner, like, it's really easy to do. Like, but the thing is, drums are hard because you got to work them around and whatever, and it's just
too much cartilage.
A different scenario.
Too much cartilage.
Too much work. Yeah. Now that we're on the topic, do you eat the crudité that comes with the wings?
What? The celery and carrots? Yes, I do. I sure do. I love carrots. I love celery. And I'm a blue cheese guy. Like, people are like, oh, same. I like ranch. I'm like... Ranch? What the fuck? Because my buddy Brian Blessing, who passed away, like, we used to go for wings all the time, and he was like me, blue cheese and wings were made for each other. I understand how people don't like it, the taste, but there's just something about it. If you like it, you love it, and I'll put ranch on a salad. I just put blue cheese for my wings, please.
Same.
You get it. That's what they're meant to. That's the original parlay, the original, like, love. It's wing and blue cheese. Like, there was no... I don't even know how ranch came up with it. I guess a lot of people hate blue cheese, right?
Because I think too stinky, too strong a flavor. But when it's in the sauce, come on, it's perfectly fine. You said you were in an eating competition for wings. I wanted to know, what food do you think you could be the best in an eating competition at?
Breads are... I was in a pizza one, but it was a trick. I was in Calgary, like, before, like, the Grey Cup, and... My boy Mick Ozzie took me there, and I was a tester. And then after I'm testing people's pizza and ranking them, they made me go in an eating contest. If that's not sabotage, I don't know what the hell is.
Brutal.
Like, that's not right. I can't be eating, trying pizza, and then they go, now you're up on the stage. Like, nobody told me that. It was a trick, but I had a great time. But one thing I'm really good at eating at, and it surprises me, is Kraft, like white cheddar Kraft dinner. I can eat boxes of that stuff. Yeah. I don't know why it goes down so easy. It's just one thing that I can crush it. Like, just blah, 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 and not even chew it. Like, just, but the things are with bread, I find far. Wings, I used to be good at, but not anymore. Hot dogs, I'm not really down with. Like, I don't understand. Like, Joey Chestnut, like, fuck, dude. Like, I think he's made $8 million in his career, but how many years has he taken off his life to, like, right. it's quite.
Oh, it's
he's
no
just
joke.
A freak. Like, is he, me and Gabe had this argument. I go, he is an athlete because, like, he's going through this stuff and, I guess you have to train for it.
They train their jaw muscles.
Yeah,
they train
their
stomach.
That's the thing. He's got to have, like, some kind of escalator down there too. Like, there's the way he is born and the way his jaw is and everything else. It has to be different, right? Like, he can't significantly be that much better than everyone, but he is.
But he is. Yeah. All right, Cam, let's move on here to the Is This Good segment, where unfortunately everything's bad. It's time to pick your poison. So here's how it works. I'm going to give you three related options that are all bad, and you have to pick your poison. So whichever you think is the least worst option.
Okay.
And I'm asking this question because I wanted to get a sense of how you play the ponies, right? I know this, you already said numerous times, is one of your favorite things to do is bet on horses. So before we get to the question, let me ask you this. As an amateur horse race watcher, never bet on it before. Mm-hmm. When you're in Vegas and you're putting, like, a couple bucks here and there, actually, I have bet on it before. If you're like me and you're stupid, you go based on the horse's name.
I think that's actually fine to do that. And if anybody tells you it's not, because I'll tell you, I bet on a horse. My Mike Saftik, he used to work at Fantasy Sports Network with me. The horse was called Cortez the Killer. It's a Neil Young song. He was like 40-1. He blew up the tote board. And I only bet it because of the name of a song. I bet on because a girl's name, mother's name and stuff. I'm telling you, it actually wins more than it isn't. And I've seen guys with the form and they're trying to break it all down. Some guys can do it. Some guys can't. For me, I look at horse racing. I look at the horse. I just look at the horse. And if I like his ass or legs or anything like that, I'm like, okay, I'm in. Horse is structured, like the way he's like bobbing around with the other horse. Like, he doesn't want to like have sex with the other horse, but he's got to be kind of frisky. Like, I just like it's almost like poetry.
So you're on the track and you're scouting. You're literally looking at the horses. That, wow. Okay.
Oh, I'm looking at the way they're built. Also, you have to look at the tote board, where the money's going. Why is this going this way and this way? But there's a lot of factors. And I will say this. If somebody tells you don't bet on names, don't listen to them. Like, dude, I know a lot of my biggest wins, I bet on a name because, and I threw all the logic away and it works. Sometimes this stuff doesn't make any sense, you know?
Okay, well, I've got three horse names that I think are bad names, names that I think you would want to stay away from, right? Okay. So they're all bad, okay? But I want you to pick the least worst. So you're going to have to bet on one of these horses, all right?
Yep.
Here's their names. Sleep Biscuit, Seattle Stew, and Mr. Dead.
I'm going to bet on, it's a no-brainer, Seattle Stew. I'm Cam Stewart, the Stew.
Yeah. Right? Oh, I didn't even
and
think
Seattle, I love the Seahawks. As you see, it's my helmet back there. So if there was a horse called Seattle Stew, I'd throw extra money on him. The other two are horrible, by the way. And I like stew. Don't you like a good, like, Irish stew?
I know, but
potatoes, carrots, like, nice beef chunks in there. It's delicious.
Sure, sure. Beef bourguignon any day. But if you're looking at the horses, wouldn't you be concerned that it would be called Seattle Stew because it was kind of doughy and ate a lot of
No, he's Stew.
Gravy?
He's like my buddy Stew, like Disco Stew from The Simpsons. He's just Stew.
Okay.
But I understand where you're coming. I look at it different. Out of all those names, you got to say that Seattle Stew is way better than the other two.
Yeah, I think I agree.
Like having a horse called Dead in it, like that's obviously a
not what you want. Not what you want. But so then, do you know? Like you say, you're on the grounds. You're looking at the horses. When you bought your horse, did you know what you were buying? Did you like look at a bunch of horses, like a weird Miss America pageant, and pick one?
It was actually like Gabe and I. We knew Cody Safdick. His dad is a driver. You know what? For standardbreds, they're not called jockeys; they're called drivers.
Okay.
And he was a driver at, like, you know, Mohawk, Woodbine and stuff. And he actually gave us great information. The horse we bought was great. Our horse was called Conflict Diamond. He was a great horse. Great name. See, that's a good name. Like, that was a pretty cool name for a horse. He was Conflict Diamond. And
I don't know. It's kind of like naming your horse, like, Genocide or something.
Anyway, that was the name of our horse, and he was a friend. Okay?
He was a friend. Okay.
But I've learned something. You can't own one horse. That's the whole problem. Like, when he had a hoof problem, he's eating hay, he's eating carry, he's getting trained, and we're sitting there just like, me and Morenci are just like, 2,000, like, we got to pay the trainer, we got to pay the housing. It's like, he's not racing, we can't win any money. So I learned very quickly in the horse racing game, you need multiple horses. Yeah. So if one gets injured, you could still have another one that makes you money. Basically, we went up and said, we're out of this business. It lasted a summer, we had a good time. We got pummeled, lost a lot of money, but he won one race at Georgian Downs by 9 lengths. Go check the tape. Conflict Diamond, Georgian Downs. And Conflict Diamond, wire to wire by 9 lengths. You should have seen this horse that night. He was a really good horse till he got hurt. Like, so he was good.
What do you think sparked him that night of his grand victory?
We weren't there. Every time we went to watch him, 6th, 4th, whatever. The fact that me and Gabe weren't there. The one night we're not there. And all I wanted was that picture in the winner's circle. And that was the night we didn't go.
Ugh.
And that's actually a regret that I have. Because we were working. We're working at Fantasies. But we watched it live on our radio show. And
you must have been going nuts.
You have no idea. That was probably one of the most fun shows I think we've ever had. Because like we were like children. Like we were so, like we were ecstatic. Like it was a great night. It was awesome.
Did you get attached to the horse?
Yes, we did.
Like on an emotional level?
Yes. Yeah. I'm telling you, like when you're a horse, like you cheer for him, he's like your friend. And when he got hurt, I got really pissed off because the only reason he got hurt, one of the other horses had like a equipment problem, but our horse was very temperamental. Like he was moody and emotional, kind of like, I guess like me, like he's up and down and like, you know what I mean? And I could tell, like we looked over and go, this is not good. Cause he likes his routine. And you could tell after that he hurt his hoof because he got all like fired up that he was waiting too long. And that's the end. Once he got hurt, we were done. We had no money to sustain it. And once he got back, we sold him. I'm not sure if he's retired, but yeah, the last time Conflict Diamond, he was racing at Buffalo Raceway. It's actually funny. Like he went from the Canadian tracks that we raced him at, like Mohawk and Georgian Downs, a couple others, but he went to Buffalo, but I think he's retired now and hopefully in a petting zoo with children.
Mm.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
He's a good horse.
Fingers crossed. Well, knowing your history, Cam, I'm sure you're best friends with it still. Like, I'm sure it's going to invite you to its wedding or something.
I actually haven't talked to him in a while. I'm a bad friend. I haven't called him or visited him or done anything, but he is our friend. Like, I still love him, and we had a great time with him.
How do you, like, for someone that doesn't know anything about horses, all I know is, like, horses get spooked often, they say. So, like, how do you approach a horse properly?
Quietly.
Okay.
With confidence. Don't make any quick movements, and just be nice. Be gentle with them. But you're right. Horses are very, they kind of feel vibes off people too. Like, if you're like not happy, like, they're very smart animals, like very, very bright animals. And our horse was really good. It's just, it really pissed. Actually, I'm still mad about it because he didn't need to be like injured. It was just really bad luck that night. And he was really, really good for his age too. He was eight, like when we bought him, he was 8 years old and he was still like crushing like the 10-year-old horses and stuff. Like, he was good. He was a very good horse, but. It's a rich man's game, guys.
Yeah.
I'm not rich.
Understood, Cam.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
All right, we've got some more topics to get to. We'll explore them now in our speed round we call the Chaotic Good. So I'm just going to read you some topics people have sent in, and really just give me your gut rapid-fire reaction. You tell me if you like them or not. Okay. All right?
Yeah.
Roombas.
I think they suck. Really? You're going to trust that thing to get every crumb off the floor? Get a fucking vacuum, like a regular person. Like, who has that shit? Okay. Actually, I hate those things. I think they suck. And they'll sneak up on your pets and other things. Like, no, I'm not down with Roombas. Like, what's wrong with a vacuum cleaner? That's what they're like. Dude, like, I guess now they've probably perfected it. But do you have a Roomba?
Hell,
I got
no.
A shitty shop vac, and it's doing fine. It'll get the nuggets off the floor. Like, everything's fine. Like, I know I'm not a fan of Roombas. I think they're stupid.
All right, bird watching.
You're not going to... Okay, I'm going to get... This is... I can't believe you came up with this stuff. I'm actually housing a bird. I've had a nest on my light at my home. No, I'm not... There's no bullshit. Okay? There's two birds. Blueberry and Buzzberry. Me and my girlfriend named them. And they use my porch to fuck. They create families, leave, and come back every year. And my buddy Vince goes, like, what the hell are you doing? Like, get rid of the nest and they'll shit all over the porch and stuff. I'm like, no, they're my friends. And it's really weird. When you walk outside, they stare at you, but they're not afraid of me now. Like, you know what I mean? So they just stay on the nest. Like, they're huge, plump, like mourning doves. And they stay on, a nest is on my light and I have not moved it in like 7 years. And they come back every year. I'm just waiting for them to have more sex. Basically, I'm like a Motel 6 and they're not paying me any rent or whatever, but I can't get rid of them. They're horrible tenants, but I love them.
If it's a Motel 6, maybe you could install something that vibrates in the light where they're hanging out.
We'll keep the light on vibrating for you. Hey, right, birds? Yeah, it's in that Motel 6. It's looking. Yeah. Anyway, I can't believe you said bird watching. So I've been told, like, you know, like, get rid of the birds and the nest and whatever, because there is some pellets on my porch. But no, I can't do it. They're like, I like the birds, and I know they make a mess and they have sex for free, but that's the way it's going to be.
But does that extend to watching other kinds of birds? Like,
oh,
you set
I
up
love
a
birds.
Bird?
Yeah, no, I love. Oh. I go, when I go for my walk, that's kind of, I don't really, I just got my hernia out, so no heavy lifting now, but I just went to the park today, and Yeah, there's birds in the trees and stuff. I like birds. I just don't, in the morning, they kind of piss me off, though, because the ones around me are really, really loud. So it's hard to get a good night's sleep, but I like bird watching. Yeah, I think that's, okay. I'll tell you, 100 times better than a fucking Roomba.
Okay. Cottage cheese.
Tough question. I don't hate it. I don't buy it. I'll eat it. And it's good on, you know what it's good on? Cantaloupe or melons.
Yeah.
Cottage cheese and melon go pretty good together. Yeah. But it's like when I go to the store, I don't go, like, I'm not looking out for cottage cheese, but I'll eat it. I'll eat anything, though, guys. You guys have seen me. Like, I'll eat shit if it tasted good, but I don't really buy cottage cheese.
All right. Chatting with the guy next to you at a urinal.
Depends. If we're winning the game and the bets, I usually chat. When I'm not doing well, I kind of just keep it to myself and walk out angrily. But yeah, like when I go to a Raptors game or something, yeah, if we're like winning and having a good game, oh, hey, how you doing? Like, yeah, you're right, though. It's like it's time and place. Like I've chatted with people at the urinal and I've also just gone about my business and left. It depends.
Okay.
It's on me. Like if I'm in a good mood that day or not, you know?
Okay. A couple more here for you. Working from home.
Pros and cons. Working from home is great because you can do it in your underwear. You can do it naked. You just got to put a shirt on.
Are you wearing
on.
Pants right now, Cam?
I'm wearing underwear.
Just underwear?
Yeah, I'm not wearing pants, no.
Briefs?
I'm wearing New Balance. No, I'm just like I got underwear on, but I'm not going to do it to show you or like, yeah. I don't wear pants.
That's a reason to watch on YouTube.
Anyway, no, I was going to show you. I just had hernia surgery, so I got a huge scar right there. Yeah,
oh, geez, how you feeling?
Better than I thought. I was really worried that they didn't get all out because it was the size of like a clementine.
Oh,
and
Jesus.
My doctor, listen to my doctor's name, Lancelot Tin. Is that not the best? The guy's name's Lancelot. I'm like, what? He's a Chinese guy. And you know what? I love him. Best doctor I ever had. I go to my other doctor, like my family doctor. I'm waiting for 2 hours for him to tell me nothing. This guy gets people in and out, and he did a great job on the surgery too. Just enough anesthesia to knock me out. He told me, you're doing well, Cameron. He goes, the scar will probably go away in about 6 to 9 months, but I was really scared after I got it done because it still feels like there's marbles in there, but it's just skin. Be careful. You guys haven't had hernia surgery, have you?
No, luckily no.
I don't know. I guess my mom told me a colonoscopy's next. That's coming up pretty soon.
Yeah. Well, fingers
turn 50. Yeah, it sounds like fun.
Lancelot Tim, good name for a horse?
Yes. Lancelot? Yes, yes. Medieval times? Yeah, very much so. Great doctor, great surgeon, great horse.
Have you ever been to the medieval times in Toronto?
Yes, I have. Twice.
What do you think? Is that good?
Not really. I enjoy eating food without cutlery, but I think the tournament kind of sucks. Like, it's not very entertaining. Ooh, my green knife versus my... Like, I think you can get more for the money that you pay. The meals, the food's all right, but really, can't you come up with some... Like, if I owned a place, guys, and we owned a company, wouldn't you come up with new games, new stuff? Like, it's the same shit every time. Like, get better. Like, why are we watching the same thing? Like, can't you evolve?
Yeah. Would you prefer it if it was more real and you could bet on it?
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be a good question, right?
I don't want people to die in there, but you know, give them some proper chainmail and let's put a number up. Like,
Here's a way we could update it, Cam. Instead of lances, throwing stars.
Yeah, throwing stars.
Nunchucks.
I wonder if he still lives in Scarborough. Man, he was actually a really nice guy for a killer, too. Like, he could have been a lot worse to me. Like, man, that guy had a lot of weaponry in his home. It was pretty scary.
All right. Let's end on this one. Oysters.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love oysters. They're like one of my favorite things in the world. I'm actually going to go down to Metro and buy I shuck them myself. Mm. I went on Amazon and I got the special oyster knife. And me and my girlfriend, that's the treat. Like, when I finish shows and I have time, I actually buy a case of oysters. I shuck them. You could drizzle a little bit of vodka and hot sauce on them. I love oysters. Like, love, love, love. I'm a seafood man. Like, I love mussels, oysters. I love all that stuff. Wow, I can't believe you came up with oysters. That's
Maybe oysters is the food eating competition you should go into.
Oh, yeah. I do very well in oyster eating competition. Because a lot of people, I guess it grosses them out with the texture, but they don't bother me at all. I love them. Like, I'll eat a case. I wish I had some now. Aren't they delicious? Do you guys like oysters? And it's good for other things, too.
Love
it puts a little pep in your step.
Well,
they say powdered milk and oysters. I don't know. I don't drink powdered milk, but oysters are good. I think it gets the blood flowing.
In your experience, oysters actually have been an aphrodisiac?
Yes.
Really?
I think you can go longer in sex when you eat oysters.
Wow.
Interesting. Well,
that's my opinion. I'm not Dr. Lancelot Tin. I can't put it on, like, say this is a proven fact, but I think a lot of seafood's really good for your sex drive. Mussels, I think, might be too, but oysters are very good. Very good.
All right, Cam, there's only one thing left to do. It's very quick. It's time for subjective trivia. So subjective trivia is just like regular trivia, except only I know the answer. Now, earlier we talked about The Bucket List, directed by Rob Reiner. Did you see that movie, by the way, Cam?
I've seen it a long time. I got to be honest with you. I don't watch a lot of movies. The last movie I went to the theater with was that movie with Tanya Harding, with, where she gets I, Tanya.
Was
that 12 years ago? But I watched this week, I watched with my girlfriend because my sports were going really bad. I go, you know what? Let's just watch some movies. That Queen movie was amazing. Bohemian Rhapsody, that guy should have won an award for that. That was a brilliant
performance. I think he did win. He won the Oscar.
Did he win an award for Freddie Mercury? So, he should have. And I watched the Banshees of have you seen that movie too, where the guy cuts off his fingers?
Yeah.
That movie's a lot deeper than people think. Like, he was a simpleton. Like, I watched that movie. It was kind of weird. I probably shouldn't have drank that much or smoked. I'm like, whoa, this movie's getting very real, very fast.
It's
brilliant film in my
opinion. Okay, so this question is about Rob Reiner, and the question is, what is the best movie directed by Rob Reiner? I have five options for you. Okay. You say you don't watch a lot of movies, but I'm almost positive you've seen all these movies. This is Spinal Tap, Stand By Me, Misery, When Harry Met Sally, and A Few Good Men. I guess to start, have you seen all these movies?
I have seen 1, 2, 3, 4. Yes, I have seen all those movies.
Okay, perfect.
Don't remember like the whole
I don't need you.
Spinal Tap would be number one for me. Stand By Me was a great movie though. Like as a child, that movie really like hit me. It was a good, great story. I'd go with Misery third because Kathy Bates is a fucking psychopath. That movie was insane. A Few Good Men, and then When Harry Met Sally is not really my bag, but I'd put that in the five hole.
Okay. So our goal is I have my answer written on this piece of paper here. Our goal is to get our answers to match.
Okay.
JD, what do you think my answer is? Cam's thinking
Spinal Tap.
What did you end up picking?
This
is Spinal Tap. Okay, JD?
I think I agree with Cam. I think This is Spinal Tap is the best one that he directed. When Harry Met Sally, though, might be more of your vibe. Very dialogue-driven. Billy Crystal, hilarious in that movie.
I gotta be honest with you, I like Billy Crystal. It's like sometimes it's just like I get it. Like you have to be in a certain mood for that stuff. Like you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Stand By Me was a classic, and I saw that movie like younger. Like that's a movie I can actually remember in time, like seeing it with your friends when you're a little kid and stuff like that. And this is Spinal Tap, just legendary.
Yeah. Oh, and Stand By Me's got a great competitive food eating scene, Cam.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Lard ass. Yeah. No, I've never been in a pie eating. That's something I don't want to touch. That's just disgusting.
Okay, so I had a really hard time answering this because these are all great movies, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I think This is Spinal Tap is... It's right up there with the one I chose. I didn't choose that one. I wanted to choose This is Spinal Tap, or the reasons I might is it's incredibly influential, like all the Christopher Guest... movies that came after it, the mockumentary style. Mm-hmm. The music is amazing. It's so funny. But in the end, I had to go with When Harry Met Sally. Yeah. And I'll tell you the reason why.
So we're opposites. That's my number five, and that's your number
that's
one.
And that's fine. But here's ultimately why I went with it. When you make a movie that basically coins or becomes a shorthand for a human relationship, like in other words, a man and women trying to be platonic friends. Cam, if you have a woman that's a platonic friend, and someone's like, "Oh yeah, but you really like her," right?
I have.
Yeah, I know, but you might say, "No, it's a real, it's a Harry Met Sally. We are really friends." Though in the end of Harry Met Sally, they do get together, so it's not the best example. But people do say that as a way to describe that relationship, and I think when you become like, if anyone asks you, can men and women just be friends? The first thing people will bring up is When Harry Met Sally. You got the I'll have what she's having. Just a classic rom-com, one of the best. So that's what I went with. But
are you saying like similar to Kleenex and tissue? People just call it Kleenex and using that term?
They don't call it photocopying. They call it Xeroxing.
Correct.
They don't call it inline skating. They call it rollerblading.
I met my girlfriend at an OTB, so we're a little bit different than most people. I met her at a bar slash OTB. I was working there. Yeah, Shoeless Joe's on King Street.
Oh, okay.
Shoeless Joe's on King Street.
Yeah,
oh,
it's
man.
Closed now. When COVID ruined that street, by the way. Like, all those good restaurants and fun places are gone. They got, like, it's a ghost town there now.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, well, right by the old office, huh?
Yep. Yeah, I went out for drinks one night. It was actually kind of crazy. Me and Jackie Redmond and whatever, we were finishing our show. We went out for a couple of drinks with Nadine, who works makeup. This girl's there. She stole my chicken wing, like right off my plate. I go, what the fuck? Like, are you kidding me? And then Nacho, she's like going right in the middle. And I go up to the guy who owns the place. I go, who is this chick? Like, what? She's like touched, like right into my food. She goes, ah, that's just Lisa being Lisa. And we're still together. It's been long. It's like almost 10 years.
Wow, what a meet cute. Oh,
that's yeah, so anybody you... else who touches my food, it's not going to end well, but it did that.
Oh,
night.
My God. I literally, because you just mentioned COVID, I thought that was the story of how you got COVID. Like someone was sticking
No, I got
feet.
COVID on the blackjack table in Vegas. Like,
the way it's meant to be gotten,
yes,
goddammit.
Yes.
All right, Cam, you've been so generous with your time. Thanks so much for coming. Where can people find you? Is there anything you want to promote?
Huh, great question. I'm on SportsGrid. Guys, check it out. There's a new app. If you like fantasy sports, gambling, all sports, great people there. Lots of fun. Like, we break it down, but we also have a good time doing it. Try to be a little bit different than, like, it's not like, hello, everybody. Welcome to the sports show. Like, we try to have a good time, and it's great. Yeah, we got basketball guys, football guys. Football's coming around the corner. Also, I do the Drew and Stu podcast. You can check that out with Camera 2 Drew. I used to work with him at Fantasy Sports Network. Sometimes on Pat Mayo. You guys know Pat? Do you guys know Pat Mayo? I'm
well,
on his.
Well, I know it through you being on it.
Yeah.
So I'm on like his show doing golf and football during the year and stuff. But yeah, Sports Grid is like my main gig where you can check us out. And yeah, it's me and Marenzi, 6 p.m. Eastern to 9 every night. Fun gambling talk. And yeah, hopefully I don't lose you too much money.
All right, Cam, perfect. If you have topics, email us at isthisgoodpod@gmail.com. Remember to rate us on Apple Podcasts, subscribe on YouTube. You can check us out at Patreon, patreon.com/isthisgood. Thanks for listening. Thanks to JD. Thanks so much to Cam for coming on. It was a true honor and a pleasure. Thanks in advance for leaving a 5-star review for everyone. I'm Matt Austin, and this was Good. We'll see you next week.